Back to the podcast. This is Era with Impart, Inspire, Influence, and Impact with Infinitely More. Again, I am joined by Pastor Travis Hall out of Atlanta, Georgia. He is the lead pastor of Life Church International. Pastor Travis, I wanted to ask you, going back to your workshops, what two more subjects that you talk about, protecting your purpose and redeeming your purpose. How do you protect your purpose?
Well, protecting our purpose requires a few things. And I think this is one of the things that doesn't get taught enough. We don't talk about it enough. There's a lot of conversation about discovery. And I think there's probably a lot of conversation about development, whether or not we realize that's the conversation we're having. But when it comes to protecting, that's not something that we talk about enough. And so I think if we're going to protect our purpose, it's going to require a couple of things. And number one, I think it's going to require us to be honest about the relationships in our lives. Not everybody who started with you is going to stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we are so afraid of letting the wrong relationships go that we actually begin to hinder our own purpose. Not everyone's going to climb the mountain with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be willing to say to the people at the bottom of the mountain, hey, listen, I was destined to go up here. I'd love it if you'd come. But if you don't want to come, I can't convince you. And we've got to be willing to let go. Because mm-hmm. if I keep a relationship in my life that has expired, that expired relationship will become toxic to my destiny.
Mm-mm.
I've got to be willing to, and I don't have to be mean. I don't have to lose my witness. I don't have to be unkind. I just have to be willing to make the decision that I'm going to move forward, even if someone doesn't move with me. So toxic relationships. And then I think, you know, I think there's another kind of toxic relationship, though, that we don't often talk about. A toxic relationship is not only somebody who tells you what you can't do. It's
right.
not just somebody who speaks death over your life or tries to snuff out the flame of mm-hmm. purpose. I think there's one that's even more dangerous because they're not often detected. I think a toxic relationship is also the person who only tells you what you want to hear.
Wow.
I think that's also dangerous because we all need people in our lives who can see the blind spots that we simply can't see. We've mm-hmm. all got blind spots. We've all got weaknesses. We've all got propensities that maybe can hold us back.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm too insecure, if I haven't let the Lord heal some insecurities in my life, then mm-hmm. what I'll end up doing is insulating myself with people who are more broken than me to make myself feel good about myself because I have not identified my identity in Christ yet. So I think being willing to say, mm-hmm. hold on a second, how come the people around me are only telling me, you know, they're stroking my ego and telling me how great mm-hmm. I am and you never do anything wrong. I need, you know what? I say it like this. Everyone needs someone in their life that's willing to tell them that their breath stinks.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
You need somebody's like, hey, you need a piece of gum. You know what I'm saying? You need a Tic Tac or something. We need somebody in our lives to say, hey, listen, how about mm-hmm. but I'm watching, there's some arrogance and some pride like surfacing in your life and it's pushing people away. And that's going to become a lid on your life. And I care enough about you to tell you that. We need people like that in our
mm-hmm.
lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes back to Christ. It's interesting that when Peter tried to stop Jesus from stepping into his destiny, he looked mm-hmm. at him and said, get behind me, Satan.
Yes, he did.
But when his betrayer came to him to betray him, he called him a friend. I think that's interesting that Jesus is like, sometimes the people in your life that irritate you the most are the people that drive you the craziest. Sometimes those are the people that are sent by God really
mm-hmm.
to help you step in to the purpose that God has for you.
That is powerful. That is a mouthful right there. The fact that the most dangerous relationship could be the one that's always agreeing with you.
Absolutely. And I think in the same vein of protecting your purpose, I think if we're going to protect our purpose, we need to be delivered from something. And that is this, the desire to make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't protect my purpose. And as long as my objective is to please everybody and make mm-hmm. everybody like me and like what I'm doing, I'll mm-hmm. never protect my purpose. In fact, what will happen is this, when people show displeasure or they disagree or they're getting angry with me, what I'll end up doing is sacrificing my purpose in order to please them.
Mm-mm.
And what ends up happening is the person I'm trying to please, I end up resenting later.
Right.
Because deep down inside, I know that I allowed, and really it wasn't them. I allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I allowed their opinion of me to make, mm-hmm. make me make a bad decision or influence me to make a bad decision that later on I end up resenting them for. So I might as well just do what needs to be done in the beginning and get on down the road.
Yeah, that's, you know, that reminds me of John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches, you abide in me and bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
And that's the same thing that happens with our relationships. If we don't prune those and cultivate those and nurture those that are going to help us flourish and grow, we will wither and die, and our purpose will never be fulfilled.
So good. Amen.
Tell me what it means to redeem your purpose.
Well, I think there are times in life where we are convinced we missed it. I talk to people all the time who feel like they missed it. I picked the wrong degree program. I can't tell you how many students I've talked to. The only reason they got the degree they got is because their mom and dad wanted them to, not because they were passionate about it.
Right.
And they feel like they've missed it. They spent all that money. They wasted all that time. Or fast forward, people got to a season of life where they feel like they're too old. And, you know, I feel like, you know, Pastor Travis, I've had this burning in my spirit, but I've never done anything with it. It's just too late for me. You know, I just have to accept that. And so the first thing you have to do is identify the lie, one of the enemy's favorite lies. It's too late. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. If you've still got breath in your lungs, if your heart is still beating, if you're still on planet Earth, it's not too late. And so that's the first thing you have to eliminate, is that stronghold, that lie in our mind that says it's too late, you're too old, you've wasted too much time. Now, it may require us to make some decisions. If it's not too late, then I have to take a step of faith.
Right.
If it's not too late, either A, I can go back and get the degree I wanted, or B, I can begin to cultivate the gift that's inside of me another way. But I always tell people, God wants to redeem your purpose. It's not too late. Abraham thought it was too late. Moses thought it was too late. Listen to me. Mary and Martha thought it was too late for Lazarus. But you know what I found out? I found out that God does his best work when it looks too late.
Hello.
I found out that when everyone else says it's too late, he's dead, Jesus shows up and says, oh, this is perfect. Now watch me work.
Thank you.
when it feels like it's too late, actually, you are in a prime position for God to put his glory on display in your life. So I just encourage anyone listening, if you think it's too late, it's not too late. Some of the people we read most about in scripture, they all thought it was too late. God couldn't use them. God couldn't fulfill his promises. God couldn't do through their lives what he promised. Yes, he can, and yes, he will. And so where do you start? I tell people this, start small, do something. Do something that is connected to your passion and your purpose. Just start today. Do something small. You feel like, well, I don't know where to start. I've always wanted to encourage people. All right, listen, you might not have a huge platform. Get on Facebook and Twitter and start encouraging people. Do something small today that begins to lead you down the path of your purpose, whatever that is. Well, I've always wanted to do something with the homeless. Go volunteer at a homeless shelter. Get started.
Right.
Do something. Expose yourself to the environments that are going to expand your vision for what God placed on the inside of you. But it is not too late. We can redeem purpose. And let me say this too. I really feel like I need to say this to somebody who have made mistakes, who have made poor decisions, and you think, I blew it. It's my fault. I'm never going to be able to do what I felt like I was supposed to do because of really bad choices I've made. I need to tell somebody something. Let me give it to you in the form of a question. God said it this way to Abraham, is my arm too short? God is still able, in spite of every bad choice, in spite of your past, no matter what the situation is, we serve a God who is able to redeem every bad decision, and your history can become your testimony.
That is so interesting, because that's what we talk about here at Infinitely More Life. Your past does not define you. The word of God does.
Amen.
And what he says about you.
Amen.
You know, you said something a moment ago that reminded me of your sermon on living in lack.
Yes.
And the moment that you realize you don't have what it takes is the moment God says, you've got what it takes because you got me.
Come on.
So let me work. That's all you have to do. Let him work, right?
That's right.
The moment that you think you're too old, or that it's too late, or that you don't have the education, or that you don't have the time, that's when God says, you've got all of that as long as you got me.
Listen,
right?
Listen, I've never had a breakthrough that wasn't preceded by surrender.
Absolutely.
Never.
Absolutely.
Not one time. Every single time I had to throw my hands up in the air and take my hands off and say, God, I'm just going to choose to trust you. And on the other side of that moment, the thing that I was believing and trusting God for manifested in my life.
Mm-hmm. That is so powerful because, you know, you have to let that control go. You know, the saying was, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, yeah. We're not getting here. Take the wheel. I'm just going to sit over here and ride and watch the scenery.
And listen to me. This is why I think oftentimes in the church, believers confuse this concept of rest. We think rest is something that happens when we die, but that's not the invitation of Scripture. Mm-mm. He invites us to enter into his rest because, number one, Jesus finished the work on the cross. And number two, he's working all things out for our good,
yes.
Which means that I can trust him to work things out for me. I don't have to force anything to happen. Listen, you and I have both met too many people whose knuckles are bloody by beating down, trying to beat down doors and trying to make things happen instead of stepping back and saying, Lord, I trust the pace of grace. I trust that you're ordering my steps. And in the right time, you're going to open the door.
Lord, have mercy. We just had a conversation about this. You know what they say, what the Bible says is that if you come and knock on the door and you seek, you will find. But if you knock on the door before you're told what door to knock on, you're not going to have that door open.
Come on.
You can seek and knock all you want to, but if you're knocking on the wrong doors because God didn't say go to this door, you're not going to find anything. So we need to get behind God and let him walk. And then we follow. It. You know, I was at church on Sunday and I was telling my colleagues, the pastor was talking about the scriptures, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And on our prayer call yesterday morning, I said, you know, that's talking about relationships with each other, with business people, but it also can apply to our relationship with God. You know, if we are quick to listen for him, quick to listen for his voice, quick to listen to him, and we are slow to speak before he speaks, then everything will fall into place.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, everything will fall into place.
That's so good. I was just speaking with an incredibly gifted group of leaders, and I told them that vision will almost always be born out of my quiet time with God. When I get with God and I turn my attention towards him and I get quiet before him, out of those moments, vision is birthed. Creative ideas are born. It's in those moments wisdom is given. And I think sometimes we try to make the voice of God very, very, very difficult, but I really don't think it is. He's always speaking. We're usually just going too fast to hear.
Hello.
If we would just slow down and trust him to speak. You know what Jesus said? He said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say they might hear. He didn't say they could hear. He said, my sheep do hear. We just need to slow down and trust that the shepherd is speaking when he's speaking.
Right. And, you know, people always say, oh, my gut told me and no, that's God speaking to you. You just have to understand that's not a gut feeling. That's a God feeling.
That's absolutely right.
You know, people don't realize that thing that says go this route and not that route could be because of an accident or you're delayed 10 minutes and you're like, man, I'm running behind, but there's a reason.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Listen to me. My father in the faith said it to me like this one time many years ago. He said to me, Travis, always remember, God doesn't just order your steps. He orders your stops.
Hello.
And listen to me, that has served me, that wisdom has served me very well. because you know, something else I've found out that might be helpful. A closed door doesn't mean no. Sometimes it just means not now.
That's right.
And I've got to be willing to be okay with the timing of God. You know, the truth is he knows things I don't know. He sets the ends from the beginning. He's already been to the end of my life and worked backwards. He's seen every step I'm going to take and need to take. So I need to just go ahead and trust him with my timing and quit. Sometimes we spend so much time looking at the clocks and the calendars that we get distracted from the reality that God is a God of destiny. He'll order our steps and he'll lead us at the pace of grace.
Absolutely. You know, that leads me into what I was saying earlier about us here at Infinitely More and Mercy's Life Family. We're very focused on empowerment. We are very focused on helping people to overcome their traumas, their insecurities, their painful pasts, and so much more. And because of that mission, we teach them that their past, like I said, doesn't define them. their definition is in Christ. Who they are is in the Word of God.
Yes.
And His Word is full of many words you've already said: grace, mercy,
yes,
promises. Because of that grace and that mercy, He forgives us. Like you said, that sacrifice that has been made for us, that has washed away everything.
That's right.
Right. You know, we let them know that the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for us is what redeems us. Talking about redeeming their purpose.
Come on.
He is the mighty Holy Redeemer.
That's
he redeems
right.
and restores all. Right?
Amen.
So one of the subjects that you teach to church leaders and ministers are dangers of unresolved pain.
Oh, yeah.
Dangers of unresolved pain. That's really hitting home for us here. Tell me what those dangers are.
I've never met a leader in my life that was stuck whose pain wasn't keeping them from their purpose. Not one time. Most of the lids on the lives of leaders can always be traced back to unresolved pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's even more true in our culture where we're very driven. Our pace keeps us from healing. We just want to keep moving. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be honest. I just have to be real transparent here. I don't like going backwards. I just got to be honest. I don't. I would prefer to keep it moving. Let's keep moving forward. Let's make progress. Let's go. But the problem is I can't truly move forward until I've taken the time to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to take time in my life to unpack the old pain, that unresolved pain. Because if I don't, that unresolved pain, it's not gone.
Mm-mm.
But it's growing from the inside out. Anything that goes into my life, it goes in the form of a seed and later will produce a harvest. Mm-hmm. If I bury undealt with emotions and pain later, it will produce a harvest of fear, insecurity, bitterness, unforgiveness. And we usually tell ourselves that I'm going to be okay, or I can compartmentalize that bitterness. We can't. It will spill out into every relationship in our lives. It holds us back. It makes us unteachable because unresolved pain produces insecurity. Insecurity produces pride. Pride keeps me from learning. So even if someone has wisdom and knowledge and they're gifted and they bring truth to me, it's hard for you to get that truth to me because the scripture says the pride of your heart has deceived you. As long as I exalt myself, I'm not teachable. So even if you give me truth and I see it and I hear it, pride will keep me from receiving it. And so we've got to get to the core. We've got to heal that unresolved pain. If we can work on healing the unresolved pain, that insecurity will begin to disappear. That pride will dissipate. And suddenly I'm in a position for growth and I'm ready to step into my purpose. But if I don't do that, I'll ultimately push away the very people that God's calling to me. And I'll keep kicking my purpose down the road because I'm not emotionally healthy enough to fulfill God's will for my life.
That's incredible. Do you see pain, pride also as a stigma or roadblock to even acknowledging they have some unresolved pain?
Absolutely, because insecurity is like, it's like almost like, you know, guerrilla warfare. You never see it, but it's always there calling the shots. Insecurity does, by its very nature, does not want to be discovered.
Right.
And so it hides. And we hide our insecurity with our pride. And we won't acknowledge, I don't want to acknowledge I'm insecure because if I do that, then I look weak.
Yes.
Because somewhere in our lives, we've bought the lie that insecurity equals weakness. It doesn't. Insecurity equals human. Insecurity means we've endured pain. And if we were more transparent about our insecurity, you ready for this? Here's the truth. Here's what I found out. The more transparent people are about their insecurity, the more confident they are. It is this strange paradigm. Like yourself, I interviewed a lot of leaders and it amazes me. The most effective leaders are the most transparent. They're the most honest about their insecurity. They're most honest about what they're not good at. And the most honest about the fact that they've got pain, that God's still, you know, he's still healing in on the inside of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm not willing to face the reality of my own pain, then I will embrace the reality of my own limitation. And I will always be angry. And I will always blame somebody else because I'm not further down the road.
Right.
Because pride always lays blame externally. It's always somebody else. It's always something else.
That's so interesting.
The reality is it's usually my pride that's really trying to mask my insecurity and keep me from stepping into my God-given destiny.
That's incredible. You know, that reminds me a little bit back on your podcast with Pastor Patrick last week about being transparent.
Yeah.
He's human. He said he tells his sons, we didn't just wake up in this mega ministry.
Right, that's right.
We had to go through some things. Well, I had, as your dad, I had to go through some things, you know, and we all have to admit, we didn't just wake up and be where we are doing the things that are happening in Kenya with us through Mercy's Light. And even here stateside with all of our conferences, online and live conferences and this podcast, we didn't just wake up to this.
That's right.
We have been through some things.
No, that's absolutely right.
You know, you are so right. Your past, if you're transparent about it, your past and your insecurities are actually your strength, because we know that when we are weak, God is strong.
Yes.
If we just let that weakness come through, he will make us so strong in what our purpose is.
Yeah. And in fact, I think it was on that interview with Pastor Winfield. I shared something that might be helpful here. And I believe this is what I've discovered for myself. I've discovered that my ability to be powerful will never exceed my willingness to be vulnerable. Until I'm willing to be vulnerable, I cannot truly be powerful. Here's why. Nobody can relate to Superman and Wonder Woman. Mm-mm. What they relate to is Clark Kent. We relate to other people who are broken. We relate to other people who have weaknesses, people who have been hurt, people who have failed. And when we are vulnerable and transparent about those things, you know what happens? A heart connection happens. And suddenly the walls come down and I'm suddenly in position. Wait a minute. Maybe I can trust him. Maybe I can trust her because he or she might have something to say. You know, we had this past Friday night, we had this weekend of celebration. On Wednesday night, we had a gathering of some women for a women's ministry night. And our guest speaker, the first thing she said out of the gate, I was very impressed with her. Because right out of the gate, she said she did three things. She told on herself. She said, right now, I've got three baskets full of laundry that hasn't been folded at home. This hair is not my hair. It's a wig. Let's just get that out there. she just went, you know, I'm not perfect. I've got my own brokenness in my life. And something happened when she did that. The whole room shifted.
Yes. Relaxed.
Everyone got relaxed because wait a minute. She's like me. And everyone suddenly could receive. And they didn't spend half the night trying to size her up and figure out who this person is. She's like, wait a minute. She's like me too. So I think what's good for us to learn is, hey, let's be a little more vulnerable and honest about the fact that we've been broken too. And we're in a process of healing too. Because here's the thing. If we never, especially when it comes to mentors, spiritual leaders, what we might call fathers, mothers in the faith, if we only show them Superman, we only reinforce the idea that they can't. But if we help them see our wounds and they don't see us just as Superman and they say, wait a minute, God is using you to impart, inspire, influence, and impact, and you have wounds, then God can use me too.
That's right.
If God, the first thing Jesus does, he walks into a locked room where all of his disciples were, and he shows them his wounds. Here's where I've been wounded. Look at my side. Look at the scars in my hands. If I can be wounded and get back up, you can be wounded and get back up.
That's it right there.
But too many leaders hide their wounds. We hide our wounds. We want everyone to see us as bulletproof, and none of us are bulletproof. It is actually the wounds that will open the hearts of the people up to say, wait a minute.
Right.
You're doing podcasts and conferences. You're helping people. You're fulfilling your purpose and you've got wounds.
Right.
God can use me too.
You know, that is so amazing. And when you were telling that story, I just thought, you know what? If the cross can't keep him down, who are we to let what somebody else says about us keep us down? Who are we to let a job failure or job loss? Who are we to let COVID-19 keep us down?
Come on, come on.
If the cross can't stop Jesus, then what's to stop us? right?
Come on, that's it. Listen,
that's it.
Nothing happens to me, it happens for me.
That's right. And there's a purpose for everything.
Everything.
Despite what it looks like, despite what I'm going through right now, all I need to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for this storm, because I know you've got something better for me on the other side of it. And I can't wait to get there.
Amen.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're preaching.
Oh my goodness. I see some seriously complementary similarities and congruencies with our ministries here. And we are going to have some further conversation.
Absolutely.
We really are. We're going to have to look at how we can come together.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. I'll tell you what, give the listeners a little bit more about your blog. Well, you know what? Let's do this on the other side. We're going to take one more quick little commercial break and we'll come back and talk about Cultivate My Purpose and just all of the information that you've got over there. It's a lot of good, solid information. We'll be right back.
Fantastic.